Sup, freaks? It's your boy Marty here to introduce Rabbit Hole Recap 216, second to last back porch rip of the year. So it was a good one. Tight rip, coffee morning rip, morning coffee rip. Still can't think too straight, but you guys are going to enjoy it. Thank you. This rip is brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Casual. I have to make a clarification. To bring clarity to the ad read around Unchained and this Drain the Exchange campaign. We're draining the exchanges, number one. All right. If you have Bitcoin on an exchange that is completely in control of your Bitcoin, you're doing it wrong. Unchained Capital has a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault that allows you to hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1, but you have full control of your Bitcoin. You have access to your Bitcoin. You have keys that hold your Bitcoin so that you know that it's not being rehypothecated, that you actually own it and that you control it. You drain the exchange, the centralized exchange, and you move your Bitcoin into a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault. They have their concierge service that will walk you through that process, get you the hardware wallets, get you comfortable with multi-sig, take you through the whole shebang, okay? They're offering this for $250. They're waiving the $1,000 rebate. I don't know if it's rebate, but waiving the $1,000 part of it. $250, you'll get a consultation and the concierge service. They'll get you the hardware wallet, set everything up. They'll get you comfortable. If you use the code TFTC, you get $50 off of that service. They're also offering this $250 fee for the IRA. With the IRA, though, you do have the setup fee still included. That's where I messed up last week. But if you use the code TFTC and you want to transition your IRA to a Bitcoin IRA, in which you hold the keys, that $250 gets dropped down to $200. You get $50 off. Use the code TFTC. Go to unchained.com/concierge to check it all out. I'm a happy customer. I use their vault, use their lending platform. It's a beautiful thing. It also worked right down the hall for me too at the Bitcoin Commons. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Unchained.com/concierge. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Brains. Brains. Slush Pool. Less than 2 weeks, it's becoming Brains Pool. Brains is here to bring you firmware, a mining pool, insights, books, blogs, swag. If you're a miner, you should be familiar with Brains and all their products, particularly Brains OS Plus firmware, which allows you to stack more sats with your ASICs. Okay, if you're running an ASIC that is compatible with Brains OS Plus firmware and you're not running it, you're leaving sats on the table. It's as simple as that. Okay, make sure that you have an ASIC that is compatible with BOS Plus, that you download it. It's going to make your machine more efficient. It's going to produce more hashes. It's going to extend the lifetime of it. Don't leave sats on the table. Don't be an idiot. It's as simple as that. If you use Brains and you Brains OS Plus firmware and you point your hash at the soon-to-be Brains pool, you're going to get 0% pool fees. Go check out all this at Brains, BRAIINS.com. It's all there, BRAIINS.com. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends. We got the feds over us. It's a big helicopter. AmmoSeek. AmmoSeek.com. I just had something there that I was going to say. I'm not going to say it. AmmoSeek.com. All right. This is the place to go if you're looking to buy ammo, looking to get all the gear that you need for your self-protection needs. Go to AmmoSeek.com. Set up an account. I have not been saying this. You can set up an account on AmmoSeek. They don't sell anything. There's simply an aggregator of the best pricing for all your gun needs, whether it be bullets, particular caliber, particular make, the cartridges, all that stuff. AmmoSeek.com. Sign up. You can use a burner email. Tell them the RHR sent you. And what you can do if you sign up, you can set alerts and you'll be notified. They're checking 24/7, 365 for the best deals across all the ammo dealers on the internet. And so what you get with AmmoSeek is one central location where you can set alarms, targets, look at best pricing, cross-reference across many different different dealers and get the best deal at the end of the day. Go to ammoseek.com to check all this out. Very intense filtering. You don't have to go hopping from website to website. AmmoSeek does that for you. Tell them that RHR sent you if you sign up for an account. This was also brought to you by good friends at Upstream Data. Upstream Data is here to take care of all of your mining needs, whether you're an at-home miner or somebody who's mining upstream on the oil and gas well pad. All right, at home, they have their black box. They have their small two miner black box, and they just created, I believe, a 40 kilowatt black box as well, which should be able to hold somewhere around like 10 miners, I believe. It's pretty expensive. What the black box does, you take your ASICs, you put them in the box, you shut the box, and it completely, not completely, but it significantly reduces the sound. ASICs make a lot of sound. They've been known to ruin marriages, ruin people's relationship with their HOA authority. And the A is authority, their HOA. So what you want to do is put in the black box, takes care of the sound, takes care of the heat, and allows you to mine at home in a very discreet fashion. They are selling black boxes with a 5% discount. If you use the code FREAKS, go to shop.upstreamdata.ca to check that out. They also sell bundles. They can get you ASIC. So if you want to buy your black box and your ASIC at the same spot, go to shop.upstreamdata.ca, get the bundle. Again, they have their hash huts as well. I'm a happy hash hut owner. I have a 50 kilowatt hash hut that's been running flawlessly since I plugged it in. No downtime outside of oil changes. They also make 180 kilowatt hash huts, 900 kilowatt hash huts. So for all shapes and sizes, if you're using natural gas to mine, if you're on a small stranded well, or if you're on a well that's just being IP'd, they have the infrastructure for you to get you data centers, generators, miners. They can take care of it. If you're one of those greedy oil men looking to rotate some profits into another endeavor, go check out Upstream Data. It's a good time to diversify into Bitcoin mining. ASICs are relatively cheap compared to where they were earlier this year. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at HODL HODL. HODL HODL is here to bring you a lending platform that's peer-to-peer, no KYC, no AML, allows you to hold a key in the escrow account. So what you do is you put your Bitcoin up as collateral in a 2 or 3 multi-sig escrow account. You hold one key. Your counterparty in the loan holds another key, and HODL HODL holds the third key. Since you have possession of one key, you have visibility into the escrow account. You know that those sats aren't moving and being rehypothecated. So you know that at the end of the day, if you're paying back your loan, you're going to get your sats back. Bitcoin is collateral. You get stable coins in return. Pay back the loan plus the interest. You get your sats back. It's as simple as that. No KYC, no AML, peer-to-peer, lend.hodlhodl.com. Enjoy this, Rip Freaks. I'm going to go mow the lawn. Take care.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Woo! Coffee rip. 9:15 on the East Coast. I'm tired.
I got my Riot swag mug from BitBlock Boom that I'm drinking out of.
I haven't even opened that yet. That's what that was?
I think
I didn't know Gary, it was Riot branded.
I think Gary must have, I think these companies must have asked Gary like what they should put in the bag. And Gary told everyone to put in tumblers and mugs because we got 4 of them.
Yeah.
The Riot ones is my favorite one.
I'm Tumblr rich right now. This is a bit random, but it makes me laugh every time I go back to Austin this summer because I forget I have this Tumblr. But when I bought the What is a Woman documentary, he had to go through the Daily Wire, like sign up for like a month subscription or whatever. And apparently anybody who bought that documentary got sent a Tumblr from Daily Wire. And it's just a Tumblr. It says leftist tears on it. And I'm just like, yeah, they're really aggressive with their politicization of stuff at Daily Wire.
Is it a nice Tumblr at least?
It is. I don't know if I want to be seen like in public though, drinking leftist tears.
My lady got mad at me that I came home with more swag because you're obviously like overloaded with swag. And so then the next day she asked me to get her an iced coffee and I brought her an iced coffee in one of the tumblers.
Hey, it's practical swag, you know? You can never have too many tumblers.
I did think it was funny. Casa sent like a document or like a cheat sheet on like safety best practices. And one of the safety best practices was like, do not use other people's USB cables because they could be compromised. And then another piece of swag in the bag was from Casa, which was USB cable.
Oh, really?
Irony isn't
dead.
Come on,
Casa. You gotta think that through. Never plug in the electronic conference swag. That's an adage to live by. The bookshelf is back.
Young Lurk has noticed the bookshelf's back. I'm with family right now, which is why I will not be able to make it to Riga, unfortunately. Marty has stepped up to the plate to fill some of my slots over in Riga. I wish everyone the best over there. It's going to be a fantastic week. But unfortunately, my amazing mother-in-law is at the end of a 4-year fight of cancer. So I need to be here with her. But yeah, fuck cancer.
Here's your mother-in-law. Fuck cancer is right. Do you have any red eye sleeping tips? I'm taking a red eye to Riga. That's why we're ripping at 9 a.m. today. We've got to do this. I've got to write a bent, and I got to hop in the car, drive up to the New York City area, and hop on a red eye to Riga.
Red eyes are rough. Maybe a half Xanax and 2 beers.
I try to stay away from the SSRIs. and I really don't want to drink. When I drink on like late flights, it's just, I feel like shit when I land. So I'm trying to figure out the most natural way to pass out on this flight.
The most natural way is just fucking fall asleep, bro, and then wake up.
Yeah. Would it be a high time preference with me to upgrade to first class so I get one of those like sleeping?
How much is the upgrade?
I don't know. I'm going to ask when I get there.
I think if the upgrade is less than $400, it's worth it.
Okay. All right.
That's my line.
I had 500 in my head. So.
There you go.
Not too far. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, it seems like vibes are already pretty high in Riga. I've been getting a lot of messages. Where are you? When are you getting here? It is going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be interesting. I'm very interested to see what it's like on the ground in Europe with all this energy crisis stuff going on. I thought Latvia was a bit inoculated from all this. I haven't heard anything in the news about their economy suffering, but then I saw a tweet yesterday of inflation rates in across the EU, and Latvia is like number 2, 20.5% inflation year on year, which is pretty crazy.
How much is their inflation?
20.5%.
20.5%. Damn. Right, because they don't use the euro. They're NATO, but they don't use the euro. I'm trying to remember.
They may not be part of the union.
Yeah, they're not. They're like, they're like euro affiliated, but not euro. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to remember back to 2019. I think there was a separate currency.
I can't recall. I'll find out in 24 hours. So
yeah, you can report back for us. But, their capital is, you know, with less than 100 miles from Russia.
Yeah. And they just labeled Russia a terrorist state. So.
Yeah, presumably their supply lines are even more crunched, right? Like I'm sure they have a, you know, a decent amount of trade that goes through that border. Thank God we have Jerry back in the live comments instead of on the show so he can fact check us.
Yes, so then, our fact checker.
Isn't their inflation exactly the same as the rest of the European Union then?
No, I mean, they still use the euros, but their goods and services probably differ. Their utilities and other shit.
I remember it's probably not. You remember, like, everything was really cheap. Food was cheap. Drinks were cheap.
Yeah, I remember we went to that Brazilian steakhouse, and we were all shocked at how cheap the bill was.
That was the best, because I picked up the check for, like, 10 people, and then I didn't show them what the bill was, and I was like, you can just give me back next time.
In New York.
Yeah. In a more expensive place.
Yeah. So, I'm very excited to see all of our European freaks over in Riga. I'll be there in about 24 hours, 26 hours, I believe. I've got a layover in Oslo. Never touched ground in Norway. So excited to check that off the bucket list, even though I'll only be there for an hour.
Norway is great.
What's the Oslo? Is the Oslo airport legit?
Yeah, it's a solid, it's a very good airport. It's a good connector.
Okay, good. I got Stockholm on the way back, stopping in Sweden. So that'll be fun. But we've got a lot going on in the Bitcoin space. We recorded Saturday at BitBlock Boom. That was a great one. Get the Podfather, Ryan Gentry, Grant on stage. Really lively conversation. We'll shelve the energy debate for this episode. We'll probably come back to it at some point.
Did you see my polls?
No, you launched polls.
Yeah, I kind of want. I kind of want to
do it. I thought you weren't going to do it.
Yeah, well, I did it for Jevy. I want. Can we get Carr to pull up the polls on the screen? I have them right here.
Yeah, because we did a low key dinner at my house Saturday night, and Jevy was like, hey, you should do polls, and you were adamantly against it, so I just assumed you weren't going to do it, and I sort of plugged.
I posted the poll, and then Jevy saw it, and he was like, this makes me happy, so glad I did it. Okay, so this was in 50 years. In 50 years, Bitcoin mining will consume blank percent of global energy production. Was it 60% said less than 10%? And then 10% said less than 25%. And then 15% said more than 25%. And then 16%.
And then you have 16% saying show the results. So we have 25, say around 85% actually voted. And so that 60% gets bumped up to, let's say 70%. So 70% of people who actually responded to the poll and didn't just want to see results think less than 10%.
But, you know, this is where it gets interesting. Carr, pull up the next poll. Oh, pick one.
Pick Bitcoin mining.
In 50 years, which will use more energy, Bitcoin mining or California? Most people think Bitcoin mining.
Why is that? Yeah, why is that controversial? It already does.
Does it?
I mean, if it's using the same amount of electricity as a country like Ireland, I imagine.
California uses the second most energy out of any state in the country. What uses the most?
Texas.
Texas, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. No, the beginning of
two polls, like I said on stage. Like I said on stage, this whole debate is just going to turn into a headline. Bitcoiners want to use 50% of the world's energy.
No, this all started because if our response should just be to Elizabeth Warren that the most bullish Bitcoin miners in the world don't believe that Bitcoin mining will be more than 1% of energy consumption. So it should just end the debate right there.
Hey, Elizabeth, we just want less than 1%. That's all we need in 50 years. We shall see, though. I wanted to title this this episode "Winter is Coming." Matt thought that was a little bearish, but it was in the context of the energy crisis that's unfolding and exacerbating right in front of our eyes.
I thought you just meant that like the season of winter was coming.
Well, it is, and it's like a sort of play, winter is coming. Prepare. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in South Jersey. You see the bright blue sky. It's not a cloud in the sky. The sun has passed. I cannot sun my balls anymore on the deck. But we did get some pre-show ball sunning it.
On to Clark Moody's dashboard.
the price of Bitcoin, according to Clark's dashboard, is $19,954, under 20K. But sats per cuckbuck number go up, 5,011 sats per cuckbuck right now, sitting at a $381.9 billion market cap. We are at block height 752,157. We had a difficulty adjustment yesterday. It was upward adjustment of 9.3%. Blocks were coming in at 9 minutes and 14 seconds on average. We are 1,827 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment. Bad numbers, but right now, estimated to be 2.7% upward adjustment. Blocks have been coming in at 9 minutes and 44 seconds on average since yesterday's adjustment. There are currently 7,093 transactions in Clark's mempool. Samurai unspent capacity is at 5,597.41 Bitcoin, or 111.7 million cuckbucks in unspent value. Maybe that's where we'll start with this massive difficulty adjustment that we had yesterday. An upwards adjustment of 9.3%. A lot of people were pretty surprised by that, considering that the price of Bitcoin has been a bit depressed over the last few months. And a lot of people are asking, why do we have such a big adjustment at this particular time? I think there's a number of reasons. I think a lot of capacity has been brought on Texas, and we've had some big farms turn on. And then on top of that, as we get to the back end of summer, the temperatures are going down in that area of the country too. It was less humid last week in Austin, and it was consistently under 100 degrees. So I imagine a bunch of the miners who were underclocking in Texas decided to turn their miners up a bit as well. So I think you have a confluence of events of larger operations turning on, the weather getting cooler in Texas, and miners that were already plugged in beginning to turn their hash rate up as well. Do you have any ideas?
I mean, all those miners that were just getting paid by Texas to not run are all running again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's less stress on the grid.
But meanwhile, California simultaneously announced a future ban on on gas cars, and also their grid is so fucked right now, they're telling people not to charge their electric vehicles.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens, right? Hey, we're banning gas cars by 2035. Said that last week. Then this week, it's like, ooh, there's a lot of stress on our grid. Could you please not charge your electric vehicle? That's my one.
But this is the largest difficulty adjustment of the year, and the largest hash rate increase of the year. So great to see. Meanwhile, we're very close to hash rate all-time highs, and the Bitcoin price is down 60% from all-time highs. as is tradition, miners getting squeezed in a bear market.
Yeah. It should be, I mean, hash price is hovering around 8 cents after that adjustment. And so it's margins are razor thin right now in the mining industry. It will be interesting to see. That's another thing too. I'm going to have a lot of hash rate fluctuation, especially considering this energy crisis going on in Europe. If prices get too high, any of the sizable operations operating over there will probably have to turn down because it will just become simply way too unprofitable. So we can have a lot of this generation being built out over here in the US where the electricity prices haven't hit escape velocity. But over in Europe, it seems that electricity prices are going up like crazy. And so any of the massive miners, I know there's a lot of miners in Georgia, a lot of miners up in Norway as well, and Scandinavia. And so if prices get too high there, a lot of those bigger operations will probably have to shut down. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on as we transition out of summer into the fall. And as the energy crisis in Europe continues, it's getting really bad over there. I mean, I wrote about it both Bents this week so far. It's crazy seeing a lot of the tweets of people, particularly in the UK, even though it's not part of Europe anymore because after Brexit, but you're seeing people wake up to a bit of a shock and awe campaign looking at their utilities bills. I mean, there was a lot of tweets going around of, you know, people sharing their bills and they're up 10x from what they were paying just like 3 months ago, which is insane.
Unfathomable. It's like it's hard to even comprehend the increase.
Yeah. And that's what I wrote about on Monday, is people do not understand how dire the situation can get, not only how dire it can get, but how quickly it can get very dire, because you have, it's attacking both ends of industry, the core, like base layer production side of things. We've seen aluminum smelting plants forced to shut down because electricity has gotten too high. And then also you have electricity companies, utilities companies, Austria's Wien Energy almost went bankrupt. If they didn't get a $1.7 billion euro bailout from the Austrian government, they would have had to shut down because they couldn't pay their debts. And that's being driven by the fact that they had to pay for the raw input for their electricity, which is fuel. And if those fuel prices are going up exorbitantly, you can find yourself in a situation where a lot of these utilities companies may not have the balance sheet to actually buy the raw input to produce the electricity to then send to residential consumers. And so you have it happening at that end, where people at the base layer of industry, electricity, and things like aluminum smelting plants can't actually operate. And so that'll have a ripple effect where you can't get electricity or the raw materials to build the finished products that get sent out into the economy. And then on the other end, you have small businesses that are beginning to really feel the brunt of this electricity price increase over in that area of the world. I think the most viral one from this week was a gentleman who shared the electricity bill that his mother's coffee shop was paying in Leicester, UK. And he basically said, yeah, if this continues, she's going to have to shut down. And so you think all across the economy at every layer, there's going to be people losing their jobs because they simply won't have anything to do because there won't be any electricity to actually produce the things that they're used to producing.
You mentioned aluminum smelting. Just for the freaks, just a little context, aluminum smelting is the original Bitcoin mining. It's a high energy intensive process that converts that energy essentially into aluminum that can be transferred around the world. So it's a lot of times it's based in places where Bitcoin mining is now, because aluminum smelters seek out the cheapest energy prices in the world, and then they export that aluminum globally.
Yeah. No, that's where you're seeing a lot of the mining operations Lester.
Shout out Plud T89 for lecturing Marty on his grammar.
My proper English.
Yeah.
Lester. Doesn't that sound like Leicester? Looks like Leicester. I don't know. You Brits got a weird way of pronouncing words. That's what you're seeing a lot of the mining operations pop up here in the States, is as we've hollowed out our manufacturing base, a lot of which historically in the mid 20th century was heavy industry like steel or aluminum. They since moved abroad, leaving a dearth of electricity consumers in a lot of parts of the country. And so where you're seeing a lot of these mining operations pop up is where those heavy industries have been hollowed out, yet the substation infrastructure is still there and the populations aren't really what they used to be. And so miners are finding that arbitrage where they can come in and take that cheap electricity. That's what, most famously Greenwich with that natural gas power plant that they have in New York State was, I believe that was a heavy industry city, and that got moved out and had all that capacity, and the utility company Greenwich just decided to mine Bitcoin. All right, let's get to the list. This was pretty big.
Sorry, freaks. I'm a little bit out of it this morning.
Matt's not a morning person.
Definitely not like a morning person broadcasting to the world with a camera in your face kind of guy. Can be a morning person, you know, reading some news, drinking some coffee, having a conversation off the record.
You better prepare yourself. You're going to have you making the morning rounds. You're going to be talking to Joe Kernan. You're going to be talking to everybody on Bloomberg. You better get used to it.
We do a quick shout out to Joe. He's like one of my only mainstream commentators I enjoy. Dude's just enjoying life. You can just tell. It's just obvious.
He is. But he had, I don't know if he caught this, but he had a moment this week where he had a woman on who's a macro. You know, she's a asset manager, and she was talking bearish about the markets, basically saying that the summer is essentially a bear trap. Or bull trap, excuse me, where the stock market probably increased because people are trying to cover shorts. And as soon as she said the word cover shorts, like that's what we've been seeing across the summer. He was like, oh, we gotta go to commercial.
No, but I don't think that was, he was like caught off guard. Like his producer was cut him. When it came back from commercial, he was like still flustered. He was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what happened there.
We're going to get her back on eventually.
I'm sure you're making the big bucks over there, but that's why it's nice to stay independent.
Yes. No, and that's one of those small signals that should raise your eyebrows. Like, oh, why is the producer in his ear like, all right, this woman's not saying what we want her to say. Get her off the air.
It was like immediately, he like asked her the question and she just started answering. Boom, done.
Oh, no, she's bearish. Get her off. Can't have that. Oh, we don't have this on the list, but in this context, too, like we should talk about it. Obviously, while we were in Austin at BitBlock Boom, scheming to hyper-Bitcoinize the world, the Federal Reserve board members and other people associated with the banking industry here in the United States were in Jackson Hole talking about the economy, their annual Jackson Hole meeting up in Wyoming. Jerome Powell came out very hawkish, really tried to posture like he is going to be the next Paul Volcker. This Fed is going to raise interest rates and force the U.S. economy to take the hard cough syrup of high interest rates to try to drive inflation back down to the 2% annual target that the Fed sets. And that's when we had markets crash Friday and into this week. And then you had Neil Kashkari go on the Odd Lots podcast with Joe Weisenthal and Tracy Alloway and essentially say, yeah, like I forget the exact verbiage. There was a lot of people running headlines that misquoted him a bit, but essentially he said, yes, it's
pleased to see that markets are reacting this way. It means that they know that we're serious about this and we're really going to try to attack inflation. And I made a rant about this earlier this week. It's just really interesting, the circular reasoning of Fed policy. Like, the inflation is relatively elevated or extremely elevated because of the Fed's actions in the first place, coupled with the government's actions of locking down the economy. And they printed trillions of dollars in 2020 and 2021 and just completely flooded the market with liquidity, which drove stock markets, real estate, other asset classes through the roof. And now the Fed, Jerome Powell and Neil Kashkari are pretending to be these heroes that are saving the economy. And this one thing we can't let them do is like pretend like they're actually the saviors in this situation when they're actually they created the problem in the first place. Now they're trying to fix what they broke.
And they're also not going to be able to fix it. So I don't think there needs to be a narrative battle here, because the whole thing's one massive house of cards. So they're just feels like they're just delaying the inevitable, and just basically fucking over all the other economies before we go down. It's like our last hurrah. Yeah.
Well, like, and it is a bit sadistic that Neil Kashkari would go on the Odd Lots podcast and speak that way, because I mean, I think we've mentioned it on this podcast at some point in the course of the summer. You go back to the Big Short quote, where you had the scene where they're going down the elevator and the two guys that are really excited about the short mortgage bond trade are ecstatic. And then you had Ben Ricker. What the hell's his name? The actor. Why can't I think of it? He's like one of the most famous actors in the world.
Jevy will tell us. Just continue.
Why can't I think of his name? Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's like, hey, don't Brad dance. Pitt. Like, for every 1% of unemployment, you have 40,000 deaths across the country. And it's really weird that Neil Kashkari is coming out and has this, again, almost sadistic pleasure that markets are tanking.
Well,
based off of Fed policy,
there's another aspect to this interview, was that all those headline aggregator fake news Twitter accounts that don't one of them went out and said that he said the word delighted that he never said
delighted,
and then they all posted the same exact quote instantly, and obviously that all goes viral. And no one sees any corrections.
Yeah. That's why I was trying to be careful of my words when I was describing it, because I saw that.
I was waiting for you to say the word delighted.
No, I intentionally did not say delighted. I need to get a bit of sadistic pleasure.
That reminds me of my favorite Bitcoin, our favorite Bitcoin newsfeed, No BS Bitcoin, has their own website now. So shout out to them, nobsbitcoin.com.
They do. I've got one. I mean, I see what they're trying to do, but I prefer the Telegram chat where they had the links directly to the source.
I feel that.
I don't like having to go to their site and then go to it's a great growth hack for traffic, but.
Well, I talked to them about it, and their priority is they didn't like the dependence on Telegram, and their RSS feed is way better now, and they're trying to figure it out. But I just follow the RSS feed. The RSS feed is fucking fire. And the RSS feed has the links directly in it. You don't have to go to their website.
I'm like,
because before they were completely dependent on Telegram. It was just a Telegram feed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to NoBS Bitcoin. I know I'm poo-pooing it right now because I don't like that they don't have the direct links to Telegram.
I totally gave them the same exact feedback. So
the redesign is really good. Those guys are doing great work. Shout out to NoBS Bitcoin. And they were on top of the first topic that we have on the list today, which is that the D.C., Washington, D.C., the city of Washington, D.C., is accusing Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy of tax fraud. Their attorney general basically hit Michael Saylor with a suit saying, hey, we're going to sue you to try to get some D.C. income taxes. Apparently, some people have told us that you've been staying in the city of D.C. longer than you're reporting, and you owe us some income taxes. What's really interesting about this is this is the first time that they're levying this type of suit against an individual. And this is coming in the aftermath of an amended False Claims Act that they recently passed. So this is the first lawsuit that they're pursuing after this amendment was passed, and it's against Michael Saylor.
Well, so just to clarify here, this is not the first time they have sued someone for misstating residency. So like a lot of these high tax cities, I know this because of New York. New York City has a very high tax rate, right? Now, if you live in New York City for more than a half a year, you have to pay that rate. Now, what rich people do is they make sure that they live in a low tax jurisdiction for a half a year plus one day. In this case, this is the first suit that happened where their new False Claims Act allows a whistleblower to sue the person that is allegedly breaking this rule directly for the DC AG, and then that person gets to collect basically a finder's fee if that case goes correct. So they're basically awarding people to snitch out other people and do their work for them. Now, rich people are very aware of how these taxes are handled, and they usually keep very good records of their travel history to prove that they haven't been in the high tax jurisdiction for a while. You know, his company is based in Virginia. He has a residence in Virginia. He has a residence in Florida. So I'm sure he probably has very intense records on all of that. So we'll see how that plays out. I will say this does feel like trying to make an example of a Bitcoiner. I mean, this is something we've talked about much in the past, which is when you talk about enforcement of these types of things, like, yes, everyone can hold their own keys. Enforcement becomes very difficult. If you pass, you know, burdensome taxes on Bitcoin or even seizures of Bitcoin or disclosure policies of Bitcoin. But we've seen many times in history that if you make an example of a few well-known people in a group, the overwhelming majority will go out of their way to comply without actually direct enforcement. So it kind of feels like that to me. And then just one other piece, this reminded me of this very interesting story that happened during the lockdowns. Is during the lockdowns, there was a bunch of rich people stuck in high tax jurisdictions that didn't want to go past the half year. So there was this thriving niche economy that broke out, which was like caravans of rich people traveling across the lockdown world to get to their low tax jurisdiction before the time elapsed. Just a very interesting microcosm of 2020.
Taxes, man. Like the tax system forcing people to travel all across the country just to save some of their hard-earned money. Late stage empire crumbling signals here. That people can't even fucking stay where they want to live because they have to worry about the tax rate that they're paying. But like you said, I mean, I think something that was brought to the surface in the lawsuit, it was made public. And if you go into the files of what the AG is purporting, they specifically cite a quote that Michael Saylor made when he was on, I forget exactly which podcast, but he was essentially flaunting.
I think it was Vallis.
Might have been Vallis. If I have my private keys in my mind, I can pretend like I was in a boating accident and just say, hey, I don't have the money, so I can't pay you.
He specifically said, fuck you, tax that, I think.
Yeah.
And they quoted it in the lawsuit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so pay your taxes, freaks. Make sure you're keeping diligent records of where you are throughout the year and how much money you owe each jurisdiction.
This is why people say, Matt, you know, you curse too much. You curse too much on the podcast. Well, if the podcast is ever transcribed into a lawsuit, I want them to be as many asterisks as possible throughout the quote.
Let's not try to get the podcast cited in a lawsuit.
You're going to lecture me on that one, Marty?
Hey, we got to keep each other in check here.
I think just one other big thing here. It is a disturbing trend, the idea of making your people extremely poor and desperate and then giving them a negligible monetary incentive to turn on each other is an extremely effective tactic, and I expect it to be used much more in the future. And it reminds me of Mandibles very much.
Oh, yeah. Divide and conquer. And this is what's wrong with the whole political debate in the country. It's the rich versus the poor, but it's really... that's what they want you to think. And again, like Matt said, it create incentives for people to snitch on others that they think are benefiting unduly compared to the way they are. And it highlights the bad framing that we have in the discourse in this country, where you're trying to pit the rich versus the poor, when it's really, we should be thinking about this overarching state apparatus that's been built out slowly but surely over the course of the 250 years that this country's been around. And it's really the state that is creating these inequalities and the central banking system that is driving this wedge between the rich and the poor. It's in regards to the rich becoming extremely wealthy. It's a don't hate the player, hate the game situation, where these people are simply understand how the game works and are playing it to their advantage. And you can not like them for that, but you really shouldn't try to attack them individually. You should try to get a layer below that, where, all right, if they're playing this game this way, what's wrong with the game? And that's what Bitcoin is trying to fix, is trying to change the way the game's played to make it a much more fair playing field for everybody in our economy globally. Yep.
The way you fight oligarchies, the way you improve the world among gross government corruption, is neighbors helping neighbors. So if you're on the opposite side of that equation, the way you stop that is you get neighbors to turn on neighbors. And that is what we're seeing.
Yeah. Crypto Clydesdale has a good framing in the live chat here. Create reliance versus abundance. So you rely on the government too. Give you your pittance if you snitch on your neighbor, instead of focusing on building abundance so people don't actually feel like they're getting the shit end of the stick here.
So that actually kind of reminds me. So the capital city of Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, has for the last 30 days, their water system has been failing. So they've had a boil all water notice because of bacteria and whatnot in the water. Yesterday or 2 days ago, they came out and said it's gotten worse and they're going to get to the point where there'll be no running water, period. Right? Now, that obviously should be alarming in itself, that an American city has absolutely no running water for fighting fires or whatnot. But in my comments, when I posted the press conference of the guy announcing it, there was multiple comments that said, oh, this is not surprising, it's in a red state. And then there was multiple comments saying, this is not surprising, it's in a blue city. it's just like the poor are just getting fucked in both directions, and everyone wants to just blame their the opposite team, regardless, you know, whatever team they're on, they're just going to blame the opposite team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you got to stop thinking red versus blue, freaks. It's us versus this encroaching state, which is really fucking things up, not only here in the U.S., but globally, as we discussed earlier. Jackson, Mississippi. I mean, Mississippi is historically one of the poorest states in the Union. So you can imagine that their infrastructure investment hasn't been up to snuff. And so, yeah, I think they have to. I think that's what the governor said in that press conference, is essentially we're going to shut everything down and try to rebuild it as quickly as possible and get everything back up and running. Because it sounded like the way he was wording it, like all the shit water was just going into the quote unquote potable water system. So they're literally drinking shit in Mississippi right now.
Just Mandible vibes everywhere. Jevy made a good point. And we did kind of talk about it on the pod with Jevy. You got to, you know, water security should be, a priority for everybody. We shouldn't rely on government infrastructure to provide our water. You're going to have a bad time in that case. And he made a specific recommendation, which is this Berkey water filter that both me and Marty have. Highly recommend. Fantastic. You can think of it like a Brita filter on steroids. Not only is it better at filtering the water, but also the filters last for a long fucking time. It's like 3 to 5 years for each filter.
I think it's like 6,000 gallons or something like that, because I set mine up a couple months ago and was reading through the instructions. 6,000 gallons. It's good. Yeah, they have those coal-based filters.
Yeah.
I had something else I wanted to say on that tip, but it slipped my mind. Do not give in to the framing that they put forth. Own the framing. It is us versus the government, which hates us and is really fucking things up. Just to tie up the sailor thing, like, you have to imagine he's got his ducks in a row, and this is going to be egg in the face for the DC Attorney General's office.
Look, I mean, it's all about incentives, right? I think even if he wins the case, he gets caught up in a bunch of bullshit. Like, we talked about this in the past. Like, you pay all your taxes, you get hit with an audit. It fucking can ruin your life. Like, you have to deal with tons and if you're a billionaire, it's not as bad because you just hire people to do it. But if you're an average person, like, the mental burden and the financial burden of dealing with this type of shit, even if you're completely compliant, is astronomical. And for an attorney general, it gets him in the news, it gets him in the press, it can set him up for running for governor, or running for higher office. So even if the case is bullshit, which probably is, their incentives are aligned for them to move forward with the case regardless.
Yeah. Well, that brings up another point too. In the wake of the Inflation Reduction Act spinning up 87,000 new IRS agents and all the politicians who voted for that coming out and saying, no, we're going to go get the billionaires. We're not going to get anybody that's poor. We're not going after the middle class or small businesses. Two things. One of the senators who had some comments on that bill said, all right, let's pass this bill, but let's set an exemption for anybody who has income under $400,000. We will not go after them. That did not pass. That did not get added. And then number two came out this week that eBay is forcing anybody who has sold more than $600 worth of goods on their platform to fill out a 1099-K form and report to the IRS.
That was actually, that started this year already.
Yeah.
No, that but started. It made the rounds a second time because of the recent news, but that $600 requirement for eBay, Venmo, PayPal, all these different services, Ticketmaster, we've talked about in the past with Ticketmaster, was January 1st, 2022 when that started. So that's been going on for the whole year now. But yeah, obviously, like, you don't go after, you don't have a $600 limit if you're going after billionaires. You have a $600 limit if you're going after average people.
Yeah. It's crazy. If you sold more than $600 worth of goods, make sure you're reporting it to the IRS, freaks. They want their money. They want their money to give to Ukraine. They want their money to just set on fire, essentially. So they want their money. They got to pay these IRS agents. So if you're selling goods on eBay, you better make sure you're paying your tithe to the government, because those people got to get their paychecks. All you sit there and suffer through the highest inflation we've seen in 40 years in this country. Clown world. Already talked about the mining difficulty increase. This was cool to see. Shout out to, are we allowed to say who made the video?
With Tai Kawamoto?
Okay, yeah, I guess we are.
We're not. Yeah, shout out to Tai. Fucking awesome video. He makes a lot of Bitcoin-specific videos for companies, and he made this one for the Mempool Project. Really fantastic video. But also, we're not allowed to say who the voice actor was, but if you pay attention, you can recognize her voice. They got a top-tier professional voice actors to narrate the video. But Mempool, after launching their mining dashboard, has now launched a Lightning dashboard. So now Mempool can do on-chain, can do mining, can do Liquid, and can do Lightning. And what's really cool about this is because they already have the on-chain component, it is a very comprehensive view of the Lightning network. So you can actually click, a Lightning channel open, and it will show you, you can click like a Lightning node relationship, a channel between two nodes, and it'll show you the on-chain transaction that opened or closed on that channel. So it all works very, very well together. Really, really fucking cool. And you can run it all on your own node and use your own node if you want, or you can use the hosted mempool.space instance.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing about the mempool project, is they really want individuals to be running the software on hardware that they control. And they make it very easy. It's very lightweight. So if you have one of those node in a boxes, whether it be Ronin Dojo, Umbrel, Raspi Blitz, whatever it may be, Start 9, they're making it very easy to simply go to those app stores, click a button, download Mempool, and you can create your own Mempool instance on your hardware, so you're not pinging the IP, your IP to a centralized website. But even with that being said, they made it very clear in their rollout video that they host their Mempool instance in their own servers and are not relying on like an AWS or anything like that.
I'm pretty sure Wiz has three ISPs now at this point. So he hosts all his own stuff. He says he doesn't log. I don't believe he logs. I believe he takes privacy seriously, but there's no way to prove someone isn't logging. It's a trust-based relationship. But like we said, you can easily use it with your own node. It's a completely false project, open source project. And I honestly just don't, I find no need for having any other explorer except to maybe confirm what I see with Mempool. Because it's just so comprehensive at this point. It's just really impressive. So shout out to Wiz and Soft Simon and the rest of the team over there. It's just truly impressive.
Extremely impressive. And you were like a kid in a candy shop after this launch, and you're tweeting. It's some interesting observations about Lightning Network nodes in El Salvador. What were you trying to get at there?
There are no ClearNet nodes in El Salvador. Now, obviously,
what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say it's impressive because everybody in El Salvador is running through Tor, or there may not be as much Lightning activity?
Well, I mean, I think average people should be using Tor only. And yes, you have latency issues and whatnot. It's not great for routing nodes. My Tor only routing node, like, I've noticed lots of issues with it, but Tor, and we've talked about it many times, but it's still year to date has routed nearly 13,000 payments. So it can still be done to run a routing node through Tor if you want to, but you will be at a disadvantage to ClearNet routing nodes. So best practice in general for the average person is to run Tor only. Mempool's not tracking the location of those because they can't. The stranger thing to me is, like, if my country was integrating Bitcoin and Lightning, like, I'd at least have one ClearNet node in like the presidential palace or something. You know, it's pretty crazy that there's not a single one. So I think it exposes the government more. It's a commentary on the government more than it's a commentary on the individuals in El Salvador. Also, a lot of, like, the reliability of internet in El Salvador is not great, so a lot of people will use hosted nodes. That makes sense to a degree, you know, trade-offs. Another thing that they're doing on mempool.space now, which is really interesting, is they're tracking capacity. They're tracking capacity on Tor-only nodes and ClearNet nodes. Right now, that capacity is almost a 10x difference. It's nearly 4,200 Bitcoin on ClearNet and less than 400 Bitcoin is on Tor only. Now, it's worth mentioning that some people are running their nodes through Tor and then they have like a ClearNet proxy to a hosted server. So those are kind of getting miscounted, but it's probably not that significant of a number. So what do you see there? What you see there is in a proper adversarial environment, the overwhelming majority of Lightning capacity will be captured because their IPs are known and a lot of them are running on these major cloud providers. And we'd basically be left with that sovereign, that sovereign batch, which is around 400 Bitcoin. So just something to keep in mind when you see all the engagement tweets of like Lightning capacity pumping or whatever, the overwhelming majority of it is by regulated known entities rather than sovereign users running their own node, using their own node, hosting it themselves.
Yeah, which is interesting because for these large institutions running over ClearNet, is it more of a marketing technique where you can say, hey, look, we've got massive liquidity on the Lightning Network. Here's our node. You can see it. Where do they have to do that? And again, is it just marketing? Would it be wiser for like the Rivers of the world to just run over Tor and try to eat? I mean,
it's just not performant. They just like if you're already a regulated entity and you're interacting with Lightning, it makes complete sense to be a ClearNet node. It's not like Rivers exposing something of themselves by doing it because they're already known that they're running it. They have to report this stuff. They have to keep records of all this stuff. So that makes sense to me to a degree. But I think it's important that all the individuals. This is why we've harped many times on this show, dating all the way back to like 2019. So like the last 3 years, we've been harping about this. This is why it's important for Bitcoiners, sovereign Bitcoiners, to run their own Lightning nodes and to host them themselves, run them through Tor, and ideally route some payments, right? That you don't have to be like a Bitrefill or an LNBig or a River or a Bitfinex in terms of the amount of routing capacity you have. But the more we have that are doing that gives resilience to the Lightning Network in a proper adversarial environment, which we just have not seen yet.
Yeah. And shout out to Pole Vault Dream in the live chat, who said every Lightning node I've personally set up at Bitcoin Beach has been over Tor.
Yeah, that makes sense because if you think about it, like all the node projects now at this point, they default to Tor only. So like if you're using an Umbral or a Raspberry Blitz or a Noddle or my node, they're all defaulting to Tor only. So the overwhelming majority of individuals that are running these nodes are by default running Tor only.
Yeah. So be aware, freaks. And while we're on the Lightning tip, this is part of the title of this episode. And iDig launched a Lightning Accelerator at the Bitcoin Commons in Austin last Friday. And they're going to be, it's called A Wolf in Wolf's Clothing, Wolf for short, Wolf's Clothing, excuse me. And that's going to be an accelerator that is in the financial district in New York, way up in the sky. I think it's like 25,000 square feet. They've got a lot of capital behind them. They've got a lot of mentors in the Lightning space that are going to be providing intellectual capital to founders who join the Wolf Accelerator. So this is really cool to see. If you're somebody who's building on Lightning and trying to bring new utility to the stack of Bitcoin via Lightning, NYDIG and Wolf are looking for you. So if you got a project that you're working on, hit them up. And Ross really made a point to say, like, hey, we don't care where you live. We'll get you to New York. We'll put you up and with some rent in a house and make it so that you can get here and work on Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive validation of what NYDIG believes in terms of Lightning. They've been rumored to be valued at nearly $10 billion. So they have a lot of capital behind them. This is a full service operation, as Marty said, room and board, education, capital for as an investment into your project. So they are providing a full suite. And just to show how serious they are about this, this is the first time I know of where Ross has spoke in person to a public crowd. He's a very private person, so he's obviously taking this pretty seriously, and it means a lot to him. So shout out to him for that.
He's jacked. I mean, I met him in person a few times, but I was there when he gave his announcement speech last week. Dude is yoked. Another cool thing that the Wolf team's been doing is just going around and graffitiing in FiDi the Lightning symbol, which is like just like really getting out there and doing like grassroots, like, hey, we're here. And I'm pretty sure the building's not too far from the New York Fed, which is a nice little poetic. It's good graffiti. Yes, it's tasteful.
But they're asking permission of the property owners, right?
I would imagine. I don't think they would make that public if they were going around illegally defacing buildings in the financial district.
Fair enough. So,
for building on Lightning, you got an idea? You think it's good? And you want to join Wolf's Accelerator? We're going to link to the announcement.
It would be pretty funny if a $10 billion company got caught up in a graffiti lawsuit. fortunate for them, the horrible leadership of New York does not enforce graffiti laws anymore. So you are welcome to deface whatever you want to deface in New York, and they will not enforce it.
Yeah, it's becoming a problem. Not only in New York, but
brought it up
across the country. This is bullish news too. Iran approves Bitcoin for imports. Iran's like back and forth. They ban mining, they ban Bitcoin, but now they passed a law enabling the use of Bitcoin as payment for imports and establishing a framework for the asset class, including mining regulations. So it seems like Iran is looking at Bitcoin as a settlement network to facilitate international trade. So that's low-key bullish.
I think they've been relatively consistent, both among themselves and among other authoritarian states, which is we don't want our people to be using it to circumvent us, but we will use it to circumvent the American hegemony, basically, and like sanction regimes. So this announcement was for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which basically my guess or my intuition would say like Bitcoin and so-called stable coins. I could see them settling trade in Tether or something like that. Obviously, Tether and other fiat-backed stable coins have a centralized party that can get pressured and coerced. I imagine if any kind of significant trade starts happening between sanctioned entities using these things, they will start to see the pressure. But Iran, I think a couple weeks ago, definitely less than a month ago, announced that they had done an import deal with cryptocurrencies. They didn't say what it was and which cryptocurrency was used, but they did announce that they had done that. So it should be interesting to watch this space unfold. I imagine it's going to just become more and more common just because it's just an easier way to do trade. Like it just works well. Even if you're like, obviously I think the freaks are well aware of my thoughts about these centralized stable coins, so-called stable coins. I think sats are the real stable coin. But even in that situation, it's obviously a significantly easier proposition to use one of those than to use the traditional banking system. But with Bitcoin, obviously you get those additional benefits of censorship resistance and seizure resistance.
Yeah. And this actually brings up or stoked a thought in my mind that reminded me of a clip going around of Peter Rizzo this week. I think it was on What Bitcoin Did with Peter. And I really like the framing he put forth for Bitcoin's success. And really had me thinking deeply yesterday about how we should be championing Bitcoin success. Like, do we really? Yes, we agree that the incumbent financial system and monetary system is built on a house of cards, and it is in the process of collapsing. But Peter or Rizzo put forth, like, yes, that may be true, but isn't it much more optimistic and a better framing to say, hey, Bitcoin's going to succeed because it's inherently better from a utility perspective, which you just described. Like, Bitcoin is a better settlement network compared to the Swiss of the world. It's just undeniable. And should we just be leaning into Bitcoin being a superior technology instead of a technology that's going to be there for us when the incumbent system crumbles?
I mean, I think it's both, right? I've heard this, four or five years ago, I did a closed group presentation among a bunch of billionaires and near billionaires. There was like 3 billionaires at the table, and then the rest were like high millions. And I kept getting hit with like, what are you, just like a doomsday prepper gold bug type? That's just, you know, putting gold in your garage for the end of the world scenario. And I think Bitcoin helps you in both scenarios. I think Bitcoin helps you in very stable scenarios, and Bitcoin helps you in chaotic scenarios. It's a money that transcends that. It's a money that is that you can rely on regardless of what the scenario is.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there, and I think that's what Rizzo is trying to get at. There's an over indexing on the doomsday side of things when we probably should begin indexing more heavily towards the inherent utility that the network provides compared to the incumbent system.
Well, I think it's a reaction to what we're seeing, right? Like I expect a chaotic period coming up.
It's here.
If I was expecting like a stable, flourishing economy, global economy, then I would talk about Bitcoin in a stable, flourishing global economy. But that just doesn't seem relevant to me right now because I expect, you know, a very chaotic, Mandibles-esque world that's going to emerge here.
Yeah, it is emerging. Mandibles.
Important for the morning rips that we say mandibles a lot because if anyone's playing the drinking game, they're going to get trashed before 10 a.m.
We're going to take a break here for shout outs and then we'll go to software updates. Let me do a little filtering in our PTC Pay server. There we go. We did a shout out. What's today? The first. So I got to go back to like the, let me make sure this is the one I read. No, I haven't read this one yet. Yeah, we're going back a couple weeks here because. All right, I read that one on the one with Jevy. So we got 3 shout outs this week. This one from our good friend, Nate. Hey guys, Nate here. September 13th will be the 5th monthly North Houston Bitcoin Club get together. Find us on meetup.com or find me on Twitter at beef or bacon one, BEEFORBACON 1, the number 1. For info, we do a 1-hour Bitcoin basics class at 6 p.m. at a local library and then go out for dinner and drinks at a local pub. We so far learned about self-custody and where to spend Bitcoin, but we have a lot more topics to cover. This club is beginner-friendly, so bring friends, family, neighbors, etc. September's topic will be BTC Pay Server-focused. Love you guys. Cheers. Love you too, Nate.
Shout out to Nate. It was a pleasure kicking with him this week. The Houston Bitcoin community is fucking booming, man. Love to see it.
Love to see it. September 13th, North Houston Bitcoin Club get-together. Be there, be square if you're in the Houston area.
Yeah, funny story. I thought it was beef for bacon for maybe a year. Until I realized it was beef for bacon. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't read the shout out, but I remembered it last week when we had our party rep. Our BTC Pay server was geeking out. But I'll read it again here. I wanted to double down on announcing the formation of a Greenwich/Stamford, Connecticut area meetup. RHR is the best place I can think of to broadcast to legitimate Bitcoiners, and the quality of interest I received last week confirmed that. There is now a Telegram group per Matt's suggestion, t.me/meetup203, which is posted on the 203BTC203BTC.com website, along with an encrypted email inbox to register interest more privately, info@203BTC.com. I made a Twitter for the sake of it too, @203BTC, with the same info. Thanks again for everything you guys do, from our good friend 203BTC. So if you're in the Greenwich, Stamford, Connecticut area, there's going to be a meetup popping up there. Go check it out. Join the Telegram.
Yeah, shout out to you, Freak. I like the idea of using the area code plus BTC for your meetup.
It's very simple.
Yeah, it's clean.
Easy to remember. Last shout out, Sup Freaks. It makes me extremely sad to not spend the week in Austin with all you guys. Medical apartheid still in place. Still can't enter the U.S. Get your shit together, land of the quote unquote free. I know, it's pretty terrible. Do we even live in a free country, Marty? Regardless, wishing you all the best time at BitBlock Boom, Beefsteak, and Cosmic Talks over beers. The time to fight for our freedom is now. Freaks together strong. P.S. was waiting for a border opening until last minute. Naive, I know, but Gary, being the gentleman he is, agreed to roll over my ticket to next year at no cost. Thanks again for that, man, and see you freaks next year. Jay.
Shout out to Gary and his wonderful wife, Kathy, for throwing another great event, BitBlock Boom. And shout out to you, Jay, for the support.
Jay's shout out, I read it yesterday. It had me question, like, do I need to get tested to get back into the States?
I did when I was in Norway. So when was that? Okay. That was a couple months ago. I mean, you should search it on the internet. But if most hotels now, they do it and it's just like a bullshit. You just like pay them like $70 and they just like, I did one in Norway at my hotel and was like, I waited for my test over beer.
Okay. Jevy's saying I'm fine unless I fly through Amsterdam.
There, but on the way back is where the issue is. It's the American. It's on the American.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you should check.
I'm going to check.
But it's easy. You can just do it right in the hotel. Also, I have another, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that it's a good policy. It's an absolute bullshit policy, and it's bullshit that you need to provide medical records as a non-citizen of America to come here. You have to show proof of vaccination. Still, to this day, is absolutely ridiculous. That's a harder policy than even Australia has, which just shows you how ridiculous it is. But on the testing side for American citizens, the hotels have pretty much gotten in on the scam now, and you just pay them like $70 and they give you. I don't know if you remember, I talked about it on RHR because I was pissed off because me and my lady had to do it. So it was $150 and I complained about it in our group chat, and Jimmy Song had his like six children with him. And he was like, I had to pay like fucking $500, $600. Like, you can't complain. Mine was way more of a scam. Also, huge shout out to Jimmy, who auctioned off his hat and signed his hat for defending BTC for the OpenSats legal fund that will support HODLNOT and others in free speech cases. We did get a lot of sats for that, so thank you, Jimmy. I know you care about your hat a lot, so it is appreciated.
Yeah, that was a great auction. I have to go to lunch. You just flung a auction off a lunch with Marty on me.
Yeah, Marty was kind enough to sell himself for sats for a good cause. We raised in the in-person auction at BitBlock Boom, a lot of fun, did it with Justin Moon. We raised nearly 5 Bitcoin. We raised 475 million sats. Fantastic to see. A lot of people came together to provide goods for that, and a lot of enthusiastic Bitcoiners were bidding on them. So that was a lot of fun. One other thing, on the topic of meetups, there's a new meetup in Shrewsbury, UK. I might have pronounced that wrong because who even knows how to pronounce things in the UK. But the first meetup will be on the 21st of September And you can find them on Twitter at Schrops Bitcoin, Schrops Bitcoin. And that Black sounds Coffee, like one running that. What?
That sounds like it was a correct pronunciation, but
we'll never know. Schrops Coiners.
Schrops Coiners. We are at the software update part of the rip, and we're probably going to have to keep it tight here because I should spend time with my family before I go over to Europe. And
you're the boss.
Miss Labor Day weekend. Join market version 0.9.7 has been released. LND version 0.15.1 beta has been released. BTCD version 0.23.1 beta has been released. That's the software updates that we have on the list, but there was another one out there, LDK. Arik from LDK has been working on really condensing the amount of data that is necessary to facilitate mobile wallets or facilitate the transfer of data over mobile wallets. And it seems like he's compressed the data state down pretty significantly. I saw Matt Corallo in the LDK team tweeting about it earlier this week. You know, something I think went under the radar, but is really like a profound improvement in terms of being able to run Lightning on a mobile phone. So yeah, here's Matt's tweet. I'll put it.
LDK has been very focused on mobile, which is good to see because that's where the majority of people will be using Bitcoin.
Yes. So the Lightning Dev Kit account tweeted out a couple of days ago, say hello to Rapid Gossip Sync, a protocol that allows nodes to quickly catch up with channel gossip data to route payments without compromising privacy. And Arik wrote up a little post on lightningdevkit.org announcing it. And Matt Corallo says you can download full LN gossip in around 2 megabytes and stay up to date in less. Why even consider doing server-side routing of mobile wallets and giving up your privacy when it's now cheap to just do it locally? So that's a good privacy improvement.
I will add, yeah, shout out to the LDK team. It's cool to see things getting built on LDK. You freaks might have heard of Private Lightning Wallet that Tony and others are working on. Tony and Paul and others are working on. They changed their name to Mutiny. Right? What? Send only
wallet.
But it uses LDK, which is what made me think of it. And they've renamed the name to Mutiny. When we were first joking about the name over beers, it was supposed to be with 2 U's, but that's Mutiny with 1 U. So shout out to them. Jamal released Polar, an update to Polar, which just brings it up to date with all the new Lightning implementation updates. Polar is a way to test Lightning integrations on your own kind of local method without using the global Lightning network. And then last but not least, on those two updates that you mentioned earlier, Join Market was a massive update. They updated the way the Tumblr script works. So that was a really big update for Join Market users. And then on LND, it's a long-awaited update that helps you compact your DB file. So like I've talked to Tony in the past where you can maliciously expand people's database files. So like they use more and more disk space. LND now enables you to compact that down to a degree. I haven't actually tried it, but that's been long wanted for LND users.
Oh, we need you to download it and have Tony try to attack your node to see if it actually works.
Please, sir, my family.
My family, sir. We need to send payments. DDoSing me. The block wallet team, hardware wallet team, posted another blog post this week talking about the thinking that went into their decision behind choosing a processor to run on their hardware. So they talked about the trade-offs that come with different types of processors and secure elements and announced that they decided to go with the Silicon Labs EFR32MG24 secure MCU because they believed it offered the most compelling mix of security features and gave them the most flexibility for transparency. So they're again in the the spirit of being transparent with their whole process of building out this hardware product at Block. This is the next step in that transparency, which is their choosing of a processor that will be creating the private public key pairs on their machines.
I absolutely love that they are going point by point, blog post after blog post on their processes and their thoughts leading up to this hardware wallet launch. And that is very important because, you know, Cash App right now has 80 million users. That is only in America and maybe a little bit in UK. I think they've recently expanded to the UK, but they're not a globally accessible wallet because of KYC, because they're a regulated entity. This setup should expand that because they will technically not be in custody. A user will have two of the three keys. So there's a very strong possibility that when they launch this thing, very cheap hardware wallet, that it becomes one of the most used hardware wallets in the world. So the fact that they're being transparent about their thought process, they're walking through all this stuff, they plan to open source as much as possible, is a massive win for all of us, I think.
Yes. I can't speak to the legitimacy of this processor, but again, if you read the blog post, it seems like the trade-offs are worthwhile. It's above my pay grade.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this is kind of speculation until we actually have something in our hands to play with. But at least in my basic conversations with MBK, he seemed to agree that their thought process is lined up pretty well.
Nice. That's good. Allocate to an expert building this. You have to trust people sometimes.
The real question is less the hardware and how they handle, you know, so the idea is like they have a server key, the app has a key, and then you have like this backup key, which is the hardware wallet. And then the hardware wallet's only used if they stop signing with their server key. And their server key has controls so that they don't sign if it's over a certain amount of money or something like that. So that's the real question is how they're going to handle that process, how they're going to handle the backup process. Are you going to be able to pull it and use on like a Sparrow or some kind of other open source wallet or open source client, you know, coordinator that you can use? So that's kind of yet to be seen, but we'll see when it gets launched and then we'll put them through the ringer. But once again, I would just say like all else equal, just the fact that they're building this all out in the open and going through their processes is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible to see. Yeah, that's Jevy's comment in the live chat is just still curious about how you're going to recover the multi-sig quorums without the Block app. It appears to lack interoperability with other protocol tools. So who knows? Hey. Maybe they'll surprise us to the upside and be like, hey, we built this
maybe
open source.
Maybe that's the next blog post. Cool. Yeah.
They can only do so much at once, you know? Let them get through the process. Another Block company, TBD, which is bringing Web5 to the world. They released a blog post on self-sovereign identity, TBD, and Web5. Admittedly, I've not had time to write this yet, but it seems pretty comprehensive in their vision for what they're doing and the tools that they'll be using to bring their DID structure to the market.
I will reiterate the same thing I said about the hardware wallet team. It's great to see them building out in the open and going through their thought processes here on this blog. I will also say that if anyone from the team is listening, can you please add an RSS feed? Like the hardware wallet team has an RSS feed. Can we have an RSS feed for this blog so that I don't have to follow it on Twitter when it goes out? Thank you. Open standards.
Matt Odell holding the feet to the fire. Get on RSS feed, TBD. Let's go. Last thing we have on the list, and this is pretty incredible, that it's only the second largest data leak in history. The first of which I believe was earlier this year. The largest.
It happened in June. There was 1 billion users got fucked, and then this happened now, both in China, and it was 800 million.
800 million Chinese records exposed. So a bit redundant there. You figure there's a lot of overlap, but
yeah, some people got fucked twice.
Yeah, some people got fucked twice. Licenses,
face scans.
Addresses, face scans, all this stuff got leaked. 800 million people just got completely rugged in China again. It just again highlights a big theme on this show, which is you can't trust these central authorities with data. They tend not to be able to secure it properly, and people can get into it.
You have to assume every centralized database is going to get compromised. In this case, it was extra bad because they just left it completely exposed on the internet with no password. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And actually, the only reason they put it down was because someone reached out to TechCrunch and told them, and TechCrunch reached out to them and told them, like, you should probably remove this.
Yeah. TechCrunch. Yeah. What, was it a government entity?
You know, it was a corporation in China, but they're all, it's all entangled. It's all the same.
Yeah. All entangled, all the same. It's a beautiful day here. It's hard to be doomer today. When you see it, that's like the crazy thing about the state of the world right now. If you look at nature and the calmness of where I'm sitting right now, it's hard to believe that things are getting chaotic outside of here. It's a beautiful day here. You gotta appreciate the little things, freaks, when the world's getting chaotic.
100%. 100%. Focus on the real priorities, you know, not all the bullshit. Life is short. I will say that it is increasingly apparent when you see a family member go through fucking cancer, that life is extremely short and you need to appreciate every moment.
Yes. Yeah, sending my love to you, your wife, your mother-in-law. It's, we talked about this last week. It's tough to go through, but I've had the experience three times in my life. I've lost three of my four grandparents, and all three of them died in their own homes on hospice. And even though it sucks to lose a loved one, there is something special about being able to watch them go into the next life peacefully surrounded by their family in their own home. It not only, I imagine, gives them closure, but gives you closure as an individual too. It's a very special experience.
Get your priorities in order, freaks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to go get my phone. I don't have my phone with me, but we got to reboot Instagrams. I know it's awkward to leave now and force you to ad lib, but I'll have you in my ear.
Okay. Go get your phone. Just real quick, I had a great conversation with Jack Maulers at BitBlock Boom, him and Grant Gilliam of 1031. It was not live streamed, but we were able to salvage a recording. So it's now on BitBlock Boom's YouTube. Consider going listening to it. I also put it on the Citadel Dispatch podcast feed, so you can just search Citadel Dispatch in your favorite podcast app. It was a fun little conversation. We were time constrained. It was early in the morning, but it was like a 20-minute tight rip with some really good Q&A at the end. So definitely consider listening to that. And Marty's back.
Yeah, listen. I think I had you in my ear while I was going to get my phone. I think like really the most underscored product or functionality that is getting rolled out with Strike is the ability for these open source wallets to monetize by having their users go spend at a point of sale system that's leveraging Strike's API.
Yeah, and they get a cut of the fee.
Yeah, which is it's very similar to like Sparrow and Whirlpool, how they monetize.
Sparrow's a one-man operation by the legendary Craig Raw, and he's got a sustainable business model just integrating CoinJoin. Just no KYC sats flow going straight to his wallet.
That's beautiful.
Doesn't have to do any data monetization, surveillance, ads, none of that shit. Just sats flow.
Sats flow, baby. How do you incorporate it into your business? We do it here via Podcasting 2.0. You freaks contributing in the value for value model. We had the pleasure of the Podfather himself, the co-creator of Podcasting 2.0, which leverages the Lightning Network to allow podcasters like ourselves to monetize directly from our listeners over the Lightning Network. And that episode that we recorded got a lot of love. Largest boost from that rip is 101,000 or 100,001 sats. So 6-figure boostergram from Patar, our diehard freak. All my favorite podcasters on one stage. Incredible. Adam is right. For the most part, humans are a docile, credulous species who flock to the path of least resistance. Pain is coming, but with pain, there comes growth and change. Much like the Aztecs' human sacrifice, fiat money will become an ugly footnote in history books, which future generations will stumble across and say, I can't believe they thought that was a good idea. Thank you, Patar, for the boost.
Thank you.
At Eric, E-R-I-K, 99, boosted us 50,000 in one sats. Stay humble and stack sats.
Great advice.
Big drop off from 2 to 3 here. At letter 6173, boosted us 7,777 sats. And his boost was, I would drag my bare dick through a cactus patch for the privilege of consuming such high quality maximalist content. Thank you. Thank you.
What he lacked in sats, he made up for in a fantastic comment. Appreciate the dedication.
Hey, it's nice to know there's freaks out there that would drag their bare dicks through a cactus patch.
Do not do that.
Yeah, save your dick.
I don't want that written down in a lawsuit somewhere.
We try to make the content as accessible as possible. You don't have to drag your dick through any cactus patches. Cacti patches.
Marty's bad.
And then we got a 1500 sat boost from at part B with no message. So just a blank boost. So thank you for that. And since we weren't able to do it on stage, we got to go back to the party rip in Austin with Jevy and Adamo and read those boosts real quick. At Eric 99 again, coming in hit us with 250,000 one sat boosts this week. Stay humble and stack sats.
Great advice.
And then at Patar, hit us with 100,000 one sats boost for the Adam Carey, Ryan Gentry, Grant Gilliam party rip. And then for this party rip, he boosted us 49,999 sats. Hey, stumble and sack stats. Might have been drunk when he wrote that one. Coming in at number 3 for that rip at 256_reasons, 6,500 sats. Here's a sat for every 0.01% of the world's energy that Bitcoin will consume in the future. Also read all of Hyperion Cantos to learn about the most efficient use of energy to power a universe-wide network. And then
I appreciate you, Freak, but I think you were a little short on sats there.
At Avi the Farmer, E-Y-V-Y the Farmer.
I met him in Norway. He's awesome. Evie the Farmer,
5,000 sats. Insert, hey friend, listen, I know the world is scary right now, but it's going to get way worse, GIF. We're trying to end it on a high note, and Evie comes in with the, it is a good meme. It's not a GIF. It's just the dude in the back of the military vehicle with the gas mask on.
Well, the positive note is I met Evie and a bunch of other Bitcoiners in Norway, and we instantly became good friends, like awesome group of people they got over there. And I'm pretty sure Ben Price like needed a place to stay, and he stayed on his farm in Norway. So, you know, Bitcoiners helping Bitcoiners all around the world. Just love to see it.
Hey, Evie. Incredible hospitality. The Norwegians are known for their hospitality. You got to house a Bitcoiner if he's in a crunch and can't find an Airbnb. Those were the 8 boosts from the last 2 rips that we did 2 last week. Got some bonus RHR. Back to our regularly scheduled programming for the time being. Thank you to every freak who streams us sats, boosts us sats, the value for value model, like Adam described in his presentation before we did the live rip, is powerful. That's one thing we need to get better at here is asking the freaks? Are you getting value out of this? If you are, and you feel compelled to send it back, the easiest way to do that is over podcasting 2.0. There are many apps. I just read from the Fountain app. You got Breeze. You got Podverse, which is open source. A bunch of others.
CurioCaster. Yeah, like Adam mentioned three that I had never heard of that I meant to look into that I hadn't looked into yet. What, CurioCaster? What else was it? You don't remember?
You know Podverse. I'm pretty sure Overcast working on implementing too.
Oh, Podfriend was one of them. And then there was one other one. CastioCast or something like that. But he said Podfriend, CurioCaster, and something else. But yeah. There's a lot of them out there, and there's more. I'm hoping my favorite podcast app, Antennapod, which is completely false, open source. I know they're thinking about integrating it soon. There's a really big incentive for the podcast apps to do it, because as we were talking about earlier with Sparrow and Craig, it's actually a sustainable monetization scheme for them, because they can get a cut of the stream and just get a nice little sats flow in for their open source project.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Sats flows, baby. How are you implementing it into your life, into your business? It's the way out, value Marty, for value.
Sorry. Anyway, Marty, I know you got to go. I love you. I love Carr. I love the freaks. I hope your flight is really easy. I hope you enjoy Riga and stay humble, stack sats.
Love you too, brother. Send my love to your family. We will meet here next week. Last porch rip of the year will be next Thursday. I will be by myself with my children for the first time too. So pray for me. It's going to be interesting to figure out how we do that. Peace and love, freaks.
Okay.